So the Lord took me into just a little discovery. I go back to my beginning years as a believer, and praise and worship has always been extremely important to me, to praise the Lord, especially with the right praises. And there were certain musicians back in that day that, no pun included, were very instrumental in helping me to praise the Lord with the right songs. And so I'm not going to get into a lot of detail, but this one musician, I did a little digging of who he was, and he shared a testimony on a program, Christian program, of how the Lord worked with him in the place of praising the Lord and worshiping him, and how he would begin his day praising the Lord and worshiping him, and how the Lord just began to consume his life. He said it's not about being a worship leader as much as being a worshiper and a praiser of God himself in our time alone. So I just really want to encourage you. A lot of people celebrate the new year, but I would say let's begin the new year with really praising the Lord. It's better to start with him than it is with just what man has done for who knows how many years, started with a new year. And ask the Lord to give you the praises that you need to. Because a lot of people think, oh, somebody that's a worship leader, that's just them. But that's really not the way it is. And so it was very extraordinary in his testimony. The only reason I'm not going to pass it on to you is because I don't want everything that's in it. But there was a lot of great substance in it to remind us how valuable it is to have this intimate relationship. Not let somebody else do our praising for us, or they're a musician and they can sing. Sing with all your heart when you're with the Lord. And so we're going to begin with one of his songs. And I'm sure many of you will remember this song from many years ago.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, to her standing face to face, I live upon your continent. I see the fullness of your holy grace. I can only bow down and see
you.
In this place, mighty God. and sing with all your heart.
As I come to your presence, help forgave some things. And to your face, you were standing face to face. Even more,
your confidence,
I see the fullness
of your holy grace.
Fastest way to change the atmosphere wherever you are that is not holy is to begin to praise and worship the Lord. And I remember sharing a message many years ago called Singing Your Intercession. The day that Sarah Pate was miraculously healed. How many of you were there that day? You know, naturally there was things going on with my dog, which Julene knew. I mean, there was just stuff going on. But because the high praises were allowed to come in, our God just worked so incredibly. So let this be how you prepare yourself for the new year. Today, we're going to, the title of today's word from the Lord is called Begin with the End in Mind. Now, what do you think about when you think about begin with the end in mind? they say many times with athletes, just like in Chariots of Fire, to keep your eye on the prize. And it is a race that we're in. We're all in a race. We're all running. So I hope if you can get a hold of the movie Chariots of Fire, I watched it on Prime for $2.99 because I didn't have the actual movie anymore. But it was really good because there were certain things in there that really stood out to me that I'll probably, you'll hear incorporated in the message. So when you think about prayer, when you individually think about prayer, what do you see? I want you to think about that. What do you see? And if you have a paper, write it down. Because at the end, I want you to share what you personally see after the recording when it comes to the word prayer. But we're going to begin today with some common hindrances, because to begin with the end in mind, meaning you're looking at the finish line of your prayer, the thing that you actually want, there are common hindrances, and we're going to discuss those. So before I actually begin with the hindrances, I'm going to share the goal of this specific prayer meeting, and it's to prepare you to begin 2021 and see God for who He really is. Passionately willing to bring forth His purpose to every situation by us. By us being involved. So how many of you have ever gone to a drive-thru restaurant? If I can see, you can, all right. This is a great, there's a lot of analogies you can get from a drive-thru restaurant. And when you drive up, when they say, may I have your order, do you begin to say, I don't know what I want? And what do they usually do? Or do you tell them what you want and then wait for their response? And maybe they say, well, I'm sorry, we've run out of that. I think a drive-thru restaurant is a great analogy of a relationship with the Lord. You go up, you place your order. Your prayer is your order, right? I'm looking at each one of you that I can see. And then you wait for their response. Now, I went through Chick-fil-A recently because John told me they had peppermint milkshakes. They don't normally have peppermint milkshakes. And so I went through hoping they still had them. And I got three of them, one for me, one for John, and one for my mom. And though nobody else ordered one, we all really enjoyed them. My mom said it was like incredible. They have incredible peppermint milkshakes. But I still had to ask. Many people do not get answers to things that they would love God to do because they don't really know how to order it. They don't know how to go through it expecting and waiting for His response. So, have you ever gone to the window not knowing what you want, and what do you expect to hear? Now I want you to look at this as a relationship with the Lord. You go to Him, here I am, but you don't really know what to expect when you come into His presence. But a good worker, would begin to probably ask you what you like, right? If somebody was working at a restaurant, you're like, I don't really know. I've never been to this restaurant before. Or, Lord, I've never asked you for something like this. I really want every single one of you to understand you need to expect to hear from God. You need to expect Him to respond to a relationship with Him. Not just throwing a prayer up there hoping He gets it. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants a deeper connection of knowing between us and Him as we enter the new year. And so when you think about going through that drive-thru, especially when you're like, you know, I've never had this, like, what's on it? And they give you all the explanation. Little did you know, you're actually beginning a relationship with that worker. Back and forth. Communication. Mori Nishimoto had a great series. Do you remember? I think it was Gary Smalley. Do you remember that, Maureen? Great series. He would call drive-through talking. And, you know, he was a businessman, or he was a Christian, but he talked about how to relate. And I don't think Christians many times think about their relating to God and His responding to them. And so this book, journal, Counting Your Blessings, is a way to help bring you and the Lord a little closer together in the new year. Because this is one of the biggest issues when it comes to prayer and answers to prayer. Not knowing what someone wants personally. Or they don't know what God wants. They don't realize they can ask. How are you going to know what the call of God is on your life? You have to ask. How are you going to know what He wants you to do every day? You have to ask. Because if you don't, you're on your own, and there is no reward for that. And when the Lord showed me that as a young believer, I took serious how I approached every single day of my life. It helped me to not let any human being, not meaning to do this, distract me if I knew there were certain things that I had to do. So the simple answer is to ask. This is how we begin and maintain a relationship, not only with the Lord, but with all of each other. Staying in touch, right? Relating. We were all passing dog pictures back and forth recently that had dogs, because I shared a funny about Buddy pulling his dog bit through the doggy door and lying in it in the sun. And you know, I was glad, because then Debbie was sending a picture of her dog, and I said, well, Maureen, how about you? Why? Because God loves everyone, and it is a relationship. Now, many Christians, I don't believe they do this on purpose, because it's just they don't know. They, or even a non-Christian, they pray the problem. I want you to think about that. They pray that the problem will go away. Meaning, they begin with the problem. Now, go back to the drive-thru. When you go to the drive-thru, do you begin with the problem, or do you begin with your request? And if they say, we don't have this right now, then you have to make an adjustment, because you're in that relationship relating back and forth. So this coming year, don't think about your prayer life as just talking about problems, because that's not faith in action. It's just a minor obstacle that we're going to have to deal with. When you have a wonderful relationship with the Lord and you realize how he wants you to approach him, ask of me. You know, ask me. He even says in the psalm, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. How many of you have ever asked him for the nations for your inheritance? Ask of me. And the Lord wants us to ask big, not just because it's big, but because he has a lot of great things that he wants done on this earth while we're here. He also wants us to know that his character is so pure that we can ask him for things we may have never even considered. And I think it's a lot of times because we haven't really tread the waters of prayer very deeply. And so it takes time to develop a really healthy and strong prayer life because it's not just about uttering words. It's about an inner working of the Holy Spirit in us to bring us to new levels of understanding and new levels of faith to be able to really ask for the nations, for our inheritance. Now, when you're in the drive-thru or you're talking to somebody, you may see a facial expression. But the Spirit of God is able to reveal to our spirit by the Holy Spirit specific knowings. Let this be a desire and a prayer for you as we enter the new year. The things that you need to know, I'm not talking about facts as far as what's going on that we can see in the world or the negative things. It should be wanting to know the purposes of God, because the world is the world, but the purposes of God only come by us, and we're here. But it takes time to know a person. I want you, if you're with your spouse or you think about the people on this conference call, it's taken time to get to know each other, hasn't it? And we can know somebody pretty well and then come into a situation with them and realize, I never really knew that part of them. And I'm not talking about a negative thing, but maybe you saw a part of who they were that was extraordinary that you didn't even know was there. And I think that's the way a lot of people are with the Lord. They really don't know how extraordinary he is through their life. But they may see him extraordinary through somebody else's life. And so as a young believer, when I would look at believers, I know who had it. I didn't know what it was. But I knew they had it. And I realize now it was they had a relationship with the Lord that was so real that they were able to access the blessings of heaven because of their own prayer life with him. And I'm sure if you went around your Facebook friends, and you went through all your little Facebook friends, you, if you know them in any level, you would know who has it and who doesn't have it. You'll know it by what they post all the time, how they talk to you, what is the major part of their conversation. And I'm not saying just because somebody posts a bunch of things about Jesus. It's the life that you look at. So the main ingredient or the major ingredient to having this intimacy is spending time with the Lord. And I remember when I was first starting to do this, it was like, here I am. Now what do I I do? I made the decision, but I really didn't know the way to approach it. And that's why my first experience as a believer was not in a church building. It was in somebody's home at a prayer meeting when I actually began to see how people were conversating with the Lord and how He was speaking to them. It was my first supernatural experience. Not only in my own home, but I went to somebody's home that were having a prayer meeting, and it was extraordinary. In fact, the power of God came upon me so powerful, nobody was expecting it. All I remember to this day was, watch out for the TV, because I fell under the power of God and didn't get hurt at all, lying on the carpet. They weren't expecting it. But you know what they didn't know? I was expecting God to touch me. I just didn't know how I was going to be impacted. Knowing comes gradually, just like all of our relationships. Think about your relationship with every person on here and how did it develop. And some relationships develop faster than others by maybe time that we spend with the person or common things that we have in common. Or maybe things that we really like about each other that we know we need, and we draw from each other those things that are our strengths. But the same with God. Knowing comes by talking to Him and listening to Him. It's amazing how many Christians that I've known for years don't realize the relationship that they can have with Him. But many of them either don't take the time or they really don't understand the way to get themselves in a position to have this kind of relationship. I go back to one of my beginnings as a believer, and like I said, this message will encourage all of you, but it's also good to send to a young believer or somebody that it maybe is searching. But I remember my first experience in a church setting when I didn't know how you value the pastor. To me, it was just a person. I never really had a relationship with anybody like that. I did respect leadership, but I went in saying, I've never seen a miracle. And I'm so glad. Listen to what this person said to me. I know I've shared this before, but something really stood out when I was thinking about this again. The person said, if you hang around here long enough, you will. What were they saying? If you hang around here long enough. Do you know why a lot of people do not have experiences with God? They don't hang around Him long enough. We can never put a time frame on God because He knows what we need when we don't know what we need. If you really just spent some time with the Lord today and said, Lord, what is it that you want to work in me right now? What is it that you need to do in me to help me to know you more so that I grow more this coming year than I was this year? I love the passage where I think it's the psalmist that says that I may know, no, it's Paul, the Apostle Paul, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Boy, look at that desire. First, Paul said he wanted to know him. This word know originally came from Adam knowing Eve. It's very intimate. Paul didn't want a casual relationship with the Lord. He wanted a very intimate, deep relationship. And when you look at Paul's life and what he went through, being stoned to death, do you think that five times and raising from the dead, do you think that knowing is what caused him to resurrect each time? These things don't happen to just the average casual believer. It's for those that really do have the deep relationship. And just like with you, look at your spouse, if you're with your spouse right now, it takes not time to know a person. And how many of you that are married know that there's still things you're learning about your own spouse? Maybe you see them in a situation you've never seen them, and how they handle it is incredible. But the major ingredient to having this is time. There used to be a program when my children were growing up, and it was school-aged children, and there was this one student that kept saying, there's just no time, there's no time. They just couldn't get all their homework done. There's just no time, there's just no time. We make the time. Every one of us are where we are because of how we have valued the time with the Lord. We're where we are spiritually because of that. And we can increase by valuing and having that time for Him to counsel and guide us to have even a greater relationship. Even though I respect leaders, I don't let anybody else do my own personal relationship. I may ask questions, and I'm glad to ask questions, and I want answers. But I take that and I go back in my own personal relationship. Because how many of you have friends through a friend? And the relationship you have with somebody through a friend will not be as deep unless you decide to have a direct relationship with that person. Because sometimes somebody can introduce you to somebody else, right? And your relationship is kind of through that person. But when they step out of the way, then you can have your own. I think about our outreach to the military and first responders. I found out that our fire chief was retiring. Okay? He's a great man of God. He's done a lot for our city. And we've had awesome times working with him. And when I found out that he was retiring, excuse me, next door they're cutting down trees. When I found out that he was retiring, I remembered I have his cell phone. How many people have the fire chief's cell phones? And it was because he gave it to me once. Can you hear me? Okay. He gave it to me once when we were reaching out. And so one moment, I just had this desire to send him a text a couple days ago telling him what an extraordinary man of God he was and what he did for our city. And he wrote me back within minutes saying, you have no idea what this means to me coming from you, Lisa. And I was like, whoa. You know, sometimes you don't realize your impact. What if I would not have listened to the voice of God to do that and thought, well, you know, he's not with the city anymore and I don't want to bother him. It's during the holidays. But I was just so compelled by the Holy Spirit to do what I did. And, you know, one thing about those first responders, as we know, Rich, is you can never outgive them. I couldn't even give him that blessing without him wanting to bless me back. it still rivets me because he helped us so much with Sister Cities. You know, he just did so much to keep our fire department in place. And I think this is a day to utilize any favor that you have and let God use that favor to further encouraging people, ministering to people, maybe even bringing them into the kingdom of God if they don't know the Lord. Most people, can you hear me okay? Okay. Most people feel their communication is long distance when it comes to the Lord because they lack any personal experiences. Now, I'm not into just going after goosebump experiences, but my friends, we all need experiences with the Lord. We need to know His touch. We do walk by faith and not by sight, but it would be like telling your spouse you love them and never getting affection from them. Think about that. The Lord wants to touch us and help us and reveal things to us. So I want you to think about a close relationship that you have with someone who has abilities that benefit you. Do you ever feel far away from them? Those that I can see, I want you to respond. You have a close relationship with someone who has abilities that benefit you. Do you ever feel far away from them? Even if they're out of the country or out of state. Do you ever feel far away from them? If you were across the nation from them and you needed a favor to take a letter to the post office, to take in your barrels, would you hesitate to ask them? When you have a relationship like this with the Lord, you never hesitate to ask Him anything. This is what He wants with us. A knowing, a face-to-face relationship. Because many people, and I'm sure you could all share people that you know, that really do not have a face-to-face relationship with the Lord. They don't realize they can ask Him anything. I know there have been people that have shared testimonies when they were young. Even Miriam has shared this. When she went to that first prayer meeting and she was hearing about a lunchbox being found. Y'all remember that little story that she shares? And she thought, a lunchbox? Why would you waste God's time? You know, He's just so busy. How could He do that? But the only way that every one of us will develop a greater relationship with the Lord in the place of prayer is to ask for things that we need Him to do. And if you feel you need to start little, start little. Some people, I'm not going to limit them because you can have some people come into the kingdom and they're already big askers and big trusters. So you can't put a new believer in a box with all other new believers because they come with certain things already in place. But the purpose of the renewing of our mind is that if some things are out of place in the way we think, can be readjusted, or the Bible says, renewed within us. Most people think that the Lord is very far away. I think about as a teenager, I looked up in the sky, God! I mean, I actually thought He was really far away. I didn't realize He could live on the inside of me. And so, when you think that about God, I want you to think about a situation that you would love to see come into the purposes of God. Maybe it's a salvation of a loved one. Maybe it's a healing in the body. If it seems unreachable, then there is something in us that has made God too far away, too busy, unable. And this is where coming face to face with Him and saying, like I did once, I said, I just need you to give it to me straight, Lord. I just want to know. It was not, I don't remember what I was asking, but I just remember, I remember saying that to Him, just give it to me straight. What is it that you want? In Luke 16:10, He says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much." So we want to be faithful in our faith. If you're going to believe God, believe Him. And then make sure that you allow Him to give you any details. This is why counting your blessings as you have time with Him every single day and you start documenting these things, this is for you. This will benefit you. And let me tell you how it benefits you. When you write down blessings that the Lord has done and you go back and you read them, don't just read them for the sake of reading them. Go back and read and remember what happened in you that actually brought the blessing. This has helped me to grow in hearing the voice of God. Because just like Rich has his own unique voice, Maureen has her own unique voice, Louise, Debbie, Larry, every single one, if we heard each other on the phone, we know the sound of their voice. And with that sound, we know there are certain things about them that will probably come out of them if we talk to them. And so this is going to help every one of us stay focused on hearing the voice of God in the new year. The Lord says that if he that is faithful in little, He will make ruler over much. Now, it may seem little to write something like this down and to think about the blessings. And don't just count, okay, I had this happen, I had this happen. Go back and how it happened. Go back and let the Lord begin to show you how these things came forth. Because when I made a journal years ago saying, "My sheep hear my voice," that was written on the outside of my little journal, and every time I believed it was God speaking, I wrote it down. Because it helped me to go back to the actual moment of His voice speaking to me. Now, how many of you know your spouse's voice pretty well? And if they called you on the phone, you would know it was them. There's something about their voice that has imprinted within you who it is. And it's the same with God. His voice is everything of who He is in His Word. Everything of who He is. And this is why the way that we will be able to know that it's not His voice is if it goes contrary to the Word of God. And this is why if we don't know the Word of God, and when I was a new believer, I wanted to know every promise in the Bible. Because the only way I was going to know God's voice when I was praying about a certain situation was to know what His promises were. And then once I knew what his promises were, and if I was working with somebody else or with myself, I was able to ask him maybe what caused this or what was the way for me to get through this. I just encourage everyone, start where you are. Don't compare your spiritual life with anybody else. Just enjoy growing with the Lord yourself. Now, this really intrigued me as I was looking at this. We've all read this scripture that I'm going to share with you, probably for years, many of us. And it's out of Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this word substance is an interesting word. Faith actually is a substance. And I think a lot of people, when they're praying for healing, they don't realize that there is a substance if their faith is correctly being used. And in the dictionary, this word substance, the word actually means a confidence or assurance. So it is an actual giving substance. So faith actually gives substance to something that we hope for. And it's interesting because when I was looking at this word in the dictionary, it says that it's something that could not equally be expressed by hope. So faith is not hope. So all prayer that is fruitful and answered. I want you to think about every prayer that you've ever prayed that was answered. All of it had a substance, the substance of faith in it. Now, it was interesting because I was thinking about Abraham and Sarah, because it said in Romans 4:18, who against hope believed in hope. Have you ever thought about when Abraham is being talked about by the Apostle Paul, who against hope believed in hope? What was the apostle saying here? The belief was that God would bring it forth, but he had to believe. Abraham had to believe. And in this situation, because it's talking about the barrenness of his wife, there was naturally no reason of hope in the situation, right? Have you ever had a situation? Naturally, there's no reason of hope. But this is what it literally means against hope. It means though naturally there was no reason of hope, Abraham kept hoping. He kept his, what was the hope? Was the picture of what he wanted was a child. It seemed like everything against you. It's just like getting the doctor report that says there's nothing else we can do. Who against hope, he believed. What was he believing? You know what Abraham was believing? He was believing he was going to be the father of many nations. That was something God gave to him. If he said, with long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation, and something tries to bump your life, are you going to cut your life short, or are you going to say, no, I'm not finished, and that is what I'm going to hold on to bring me through it, just like Abraham did. So what was against Abraham's hope? it was a fact that Sarah was barren. And we see that when God gives us a promise, it can always supersede when the situation looks hopeless. As we enter the new year, make sure you stay on the side that Abraham stayed on, who against hope he believed. One reason that God has kept us here as his people is to bring the biggest harvest of souls into the kingdom of God that we've ever seen. We were brought here for such a time as this. And so this is why the Holy Spirit of God is spending so much time working in us to prepare us. This is why he has said, do not get involved with all of this other stuff, because that is not why we were brought here. We were brought here to bring many into the kingdom of God. In this day, as you do your little count your blessings, explore where your greatness lies from God. Explore it with him. Let the Lord help to lay out your own life of who you are and what he's put within you, and commit yourself to Christ to run a straight race as we enter the new year. Let your passion for Jesus be the drive that you have in this new year. Watch out for any insecurities trying to trip your progress. When you watch the movie Chariots of Fire, the story, I really was looking at the two athletes, that one was more of a rival against the gentleman that won the race. And he had an insecurity. The Jewish athlete, he did have an insecurity. He was weighted down by carrying persecution against his culture. It weighted him down. And I remember he said, if I can't win, I won't run. And you know what his girlfriend, everybody needs the Holy Spirit and a good friend. Do you know what his girlfriend said to you, said to him? She said, grow up. Everybody needs the Holy Spirit and a good friend. Sometimes our best friend will jolt us out of carrying a weight that we need to get rid of. And when she said that to him, he was actually able to see his rival through the right eyes and to see the focus that his fellow race mate had, the focus of who he was running for, who he was running to. It's such a fabulous story and movie. And every athlete in the body of Christ, we're all athletes. We're running a race. We're all going to have things go on in our race. We just have to make sure if somebody is not running their race right, we don't get into their lane. We just continue to be an example of what a runner is supposed to look like. Focused on the prize, not being distracted by anything else, but the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ in us. So to begin with the end in mind is focused faith. Make a decision, my friends, to let your faith be very focused as we enter the new year. Ask the Lord, what does he want to say to you? about the new year. What is he wanting to prepare in you for the new year? How does he want to use you? And when you know these things, then you can ask him, show me what preparation I need. And that will keep us each focused on studying things that we need, exercising certain abilities that will help us, just like a runner. When you look at them stretching and doing all these things to prepare for their race, you need to be able to do that. You know, in a true runner, they see themselves running the whole race. Well, what are you going to see for yourself in this new year? Are you going to see yourself bringing people into the kingdom of God? Are you going to see yourself being able to bring the gospel to people that you have never been able to bring the gospel to? This is what our focus needs to be. Amen. Visitation of your spirit upon every single person in this ministry, that you would visit Rich, you would visit Patty, you would visit Debbie and Larry, you would visit John and Maureen and Terry, Roger and Julene, Irene, Louise and Norm. Father, I thank you for those people that come and align with this ministry, that you would visit them and you would prepare them. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, you would pour out of heaven the heavenly vision to come upon each person for their specific purpose for being here for such a time as this. And Lord, I thank you for the extraordinary pursuits that you will send us on in this year, for the great works of your Spirit, for the salvations that will come into your kingdom, for the healings, the deliverances, and the vision for people that need to know why you've brought them here. Lord, I thank you for the open hearts, open ears, and open opportunities to speak into our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, our parents' lives, neighbors, and whosoever you have need of. I specifically bring the outreaches that you have given to this ministry of the military and first responders. And Lord, I lay this before you and I ask that you would reveal to myself and Rich and Patty the specific needs that you have for us to do. We just commit this call into your hands and we thank you for showing us. And Lord, I thank you for Maureen and Debbie that you've put on the right and the left of me. I ask, Lord, that you would heighten their awareness of the way you want to use them within and through this ministry, and that you would go before them in the days ahead with extraordinary favor for your purposes. And I thank you for the drawings. I just see you, Debbie, and the Lord just says you're going to be like a magnet in the realm of the Spirit. Just who you are is going to draw people to your life, and you will know the way to minister to them. And the Lord says to you, Maureen, your voice, it will be needed in this new year. Just like the sparrow, he is going to give you new songs and new ways to present these songs to mankind. And just like the tweeting of a bird draws the heart to open, your songs are going to draw hearts to open to Jesus. You know, I'm reminded, Maureen, of the vision that I had years ago of that grace note that God had given to your family. And the Lord says, think about this deeply. Think about what the grace note does. And step into this grace for 2021. And it will astound you as you have never been astounded before. Father, I thank you. And Father, I just thank you for the strength that you have given to John. The strength on the right and the left, in front and behind him. And the Lord just says, John, to you this coming year, that he's going to walk you right into the midst of situations, that you are going to bring divine order. Wow. Divine order. And it's up to you to seek him to have further insight in what these situations will be. We thank you, Jesus. And for you, Louise, he is going to open the windows of heaven for you. And you are going to be overwhelmed at how he responds to your prayers in this new year. And the Lord says, document these, journal these, because they will further inflame you to run even faster in this new year. Thank you, Lord. And for Julene and Roger, just as you have been gifted the gift to be able to extend your ability to communicate to many more people, the Lord is also equipping you inwardly to be able to communicate the gospel to people near and far. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for these precious new beginnings for each one of us. For those, Lord, that you have called to come together for such a time as this. And Larry, I just see you as, many think of you as a nice guy. But this year, they're going to see, not only are you a nice guy, but that there is a holiness in your life that is going to stir a hunger in people that God is going to send you to. And the Lord says, feed them, Larry. Feed them the bread of life. And Father, we just glorify you in this. We thank you for the newness of the year that we have ahead of us. That as you open the starting gate for this new year, that we will look to the fire of God that will be a flame and a torch for us to run after this year. And that many will be astounded at the works of your Spirit that will come through our lives. And we thank you for this. We thank you for the souls that you will entrust into our care this year. We thank you, Father, for all that you have entrusted within our hearts through these meetings after meetings after meetings, through the prayer times after prayer times after prayer times. And we thank you, Lord, and we surrender our hearts to you. And we commit to keeping this back and forth relationship with you. We commit to spending this time with you and journaling these moments that you are doing in our lives, that it can continue to inflame us with greater confidence and assurance that you are the great I Am. Amen.